Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the French Connection. Today's date is the 11th day of December 2007. It is 6 minutes before 8 o'clock here in France. Great to have you here with me. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, of course, and this is the French Connection, and you are hooked into IamTheWitness.tv if you're listening live to this broadcast, and there's about 12 or 15 of you at the moment. It's a little bit slow. But it starts slow, you know, and picks up. We are hoping to get the bugs out of our streaming situation. We had it go down over the weekend. And, of course, if you're not right there to relaunch it, which is meaning that you would have to be babysitting the stream all the time, then you wouldn't know it was down. And, of course, so it stayed off for a while, and we apologize for that. Hopefully we can get this thing to get all the problems ironed out. We're not a professional radio station. We're just people who care. I'm a guy who's interested in getting you the information that I can find. Many of you probably listened yesterday to the file that I did with South African radio, Channel Islam International. I was expecting that file, that conversation on live radio. It actually goes all over Africa and into Middle East and into Europe as well. There are a lot of people listening to that. But I expected to do a half hour with them. It was told to me prior to the on-air discussion that I would be doing a half hour. And sadly, I was trying to develop for the listener the idea of Mr. Gaddafi's history with the West and the things that he has been accused of and the things that he has actually done that we know about, and the way he's actually worked to the benefit of Zionism by being the quintessential bad guy. You know, everybody has needed here that's in this government conspiracy. They need terrorists to blame. And Colonel Gaddafi, if he is really a colonel, I don't know where he gets that title from, but Mr. Gaddafi has always been the poster boy for state-sponsored terrorism according to the West, according to the Western governments. And you have to wonder if this guy was not put into that position by design. It does beg that question when you take a look at his history and the timing of his insertion into the government of Libya. The things he was blamed for and later did not refute and paid off on. Now, of course, some of the things that I didn't get to talk about yesterday, one of them was that the United States government was holding $6 billion of Libyan money in a frozen account. And they were told that if these two men are given up for the slaughter, these two people they blamed for the bombing were given up, that they would receive that money back, and if they paid $3 billion. So they got, for their $6 billion of frozen, they got $3 billion back, with a B. So there was a financial incentive for them to sign on to that. But it seems to me, with what is going on in North Africa and all of the events that have taken place over the last 30 years in that region, that this man probably has stayed in power by the grace of these criminals that we're fighting every day. Now, you have to also take a look at the Egyptian situation when you're talking about Colonel Gaddafi, because the Egyptians, the largest country population-wise in the Middle East, Egypt, is a mixture of Bedouin, Arab, and African mixture, Nubian, if you will, from the south, or, you have a lot of tribal African black influence in the southern part of the country, and a lot of Arab, Bedouin, and different mixed Arab races, all Semitic, in the north. And, of course, they wanted to pit each other against one or the other, and by having the Ba'athist Party formed as well as the Pan-African Party formed. I discussed this in that file as well. What I didn't discuss was the importance there is of getting a nuclear power plant in every one of these Arab countries. Now, you have to know that Morocco wants one now. Algeria is going to get one, I believe. Of course, the Egyptians are going to try to get a few of them. Now, why is that important? If these Arab countries are sitting on top of nuclear power plants, they can never rise up again against Israel. Why? Because all Israel would have to do is do an air raid on their country, drop a few devices on their nuclear power plant, and kill the entire population of their country. So what they're actually doing is putting a huge nuclear device right in the center of their nation and leaving it the detonation of it at the hands of the Israelis, or anybody else who wants to blow it up for that matter. A national suicide. And you have to understand the ramifications of this in light of the fact that most of these countries, including Libya, are sitting on top of oceans of oil. Now, wouldn't it be smarter for Libya to do something like build a refinery? I mean, a really state-of-the-art, top-notch refinery where they can get their own oil out of the ground, do their own refining, and then put it on the world markets in euros? Wouldn't that bring them sorely needed foreign exchange and vault their economy like no other? You know, they're sitting on top of billions of barrels under the sand. Instead, what they're going to do is endanger their population, spend money outside the country through nuclear power generation, turn around and give access to the country to all kinds of Western intelligence services, because many of the workers who build those plants are actually CIA, or they're French intelligence, or, you know, MI6. They go down there as engineers or whatever, and they squirrel around the country looking for intelligence and information. And then the operation of it is always done by people outside, because the Libyans have not got a nuclear power education system to be running their entire plant by themselves, unless they spend a few years doing it. So basically, it's a setup to destroy the country's independence and ability to fight back. That's my take on it. And of course, the whole mess here that, you know, that the French government treating this guy, who knows what the story is behind his real intent. I mean, we can just guess by facts that we can see on the ground. But he's getting the full royal treatment over here in France. He's reviewing the troops, and he's going from ministry to ministry, and he's wearing his long black Arab robes, and it's just political theater, if you will, and that's what it seems like to me. So I thought I would re-mention that, because I had hoped to do 30 minutes with South Africa. I did 15 and didn't get the entire scoop out there, but anyway. Other things happening, yeah. Well, Morgan Stanley now is coming out saying to expect a recession, that a perfect storm financially is coming. Now, why don't they want to use the big D word, like depression? Because a recession is just a fancy way of calling an economy in depression. A depression basically is a negative growth structure within a society's financial structure and economy. And we're already seeing that. If you take away, if everything is zeroed out in constant dollars, the American economy is already in a depressed economic state. And so many people out there who've been watching their stock market investments grow are so ignorant that it's frightening, because the rate of inflation is so far in advance of any of the stock raises that it's almost laughable to think that somebody in most of these corporate blue chips in America could be making money. They're not making money. They're losing money, and they're going to be losing a whole lot more. And also, you're seeing more contagion of the banks. You're seeing more desperate measures being taken by the individual banks. But also yesterday, there was a very important statistic that was thrown out. And Mohammed Rafik and I are going to talk in depth about this latest round. So you can stay up on this, because as I told you, it's going to be precipitated by finances, all the mess that we see. We went from $529 trillion of derivative instruments and hedging instruments and different swaps out there, $529 trillion, which is over a half a quadrillion, up to $672 in 3 months. Now, there are two possibilities of why that happened. One, the reporting requirements for what banks are holding and trading interbank, which is over the counter, were changed, requiring them to have a more strict adherence policy to reporting the transactions they're having, so that this idea that their off-the-books activities can go undetected supposedly is supposed to be stopped. The other part of it is they're attempting to take the packages that are on the verge of exploding or coming due and rewriting them out into the future with other packages, or attempting to, which is kind of like taking a car that will never run again and trying to sell it to some other sucker. And in most cases, many of the forward sales are going to kind of shadowy organizations. Many people believe it's the Fed itself finding transaction parties here, and just to prop up the system for a little while longer until they're ready to, I guess, pull the rug out from under it. You're also seeing an increase here in these domestic shootings. Of course, the church shooting, from what I read, the church shooting criminal in this most recent event was actually Jewish, a guy named Murray. And it talked about him wearing a skull cap, which a skull cap is another way for the non-Jews to call a Jewish, what do they call those? Yarmulke. The yarmulke. And they didn't report that a second time. In other words, it came out the first time, but they didn't put it out there a second time. Yeah. The mainstream Zionist-controlled Jewish media didn't want everybody to know that this guy was a yarmulke-wearing Jewish crazy. And then this Omaha thing, is that a coincidence, or the fact that he's near Offutt Air Force Base, where a lot of the MKUltra victims are centered? I would like to find out more about the history of this guy. Now, of course, the goal is, like it was in Dunblane up in Scotland, or down in Hobart, the murder down there, is to get the guns, saying that guns kill, not people, and that it's because we have guns in society that all these, you know, gun violence is causing all these deaths and whatnot. And, of course, what they'll probably do is, under the color of law, say that we have to get rid of the guns, even though there'll be no law being passed to say that they do. When martial law comes, they'll say, gun violence has caused all this stuff, and that's why we can't have the people having guns, because they'll shoot at our policemen during these martial law periods. We've got to get your guns out of your hands, so turn them in or go to jail. And what are you going to do when there's martial law? Go out in the streets and try to protest? They'll pick you up. I mean, I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but I certainly could envision them doing something like that. So my idea would be, get more guns, not fewer. Don't put them any place where we could have them confiscated. Make sure they stay someplace where they can't be taken from you, whether that means you have to hide them at your grandma's house out in the countryside, or bury them in the backyard or under a tree in the forest. Who knows? But when they come for them in your house, you say, you know, it's 150 miles from here at a country cabin near the, you know, Canadian border or whatever. And the guy says, well, what's the address? I don't know. It's my friend's cabin. I put the guns up there. I don't know. Come up with something creative anyway. But the fact is, don't get rid of your guns. Buy more is my recommendation here today. Because here's the rub. Here's the great news that's coming with all of this news that we have every day here. More and more people know who's doing it. I was talking to my wife today on the way back from picking up some groceries and whatnot, and I said to her, even people who have been afraid to speak out are starting to feel emboldened because they're not worrying as much now about being called an anti-Semite. The term anti-Semitic these days means nothing to most people anymore. I mean, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf one too many times, and I mean, they've tried to use this slanderous thing on everybody. It's failing. The term Al-Qaeda is sounding like a nonsense to even mainstream people. The idea that, you know, Saddam Hussein did 9/11 sounds like an absolute moron's belief system. And that's being used less and less. Bin Laden you hear from even less and less on the press because people know right away it's a big lie. And so the government is stopping even using Bin Laden as their poster boy. What this tells you is that they're losing the battle. It tells you that they don't even have anything to lie about anymore because the lies they've used are failing for them. And when they use them, they are being exposed more as liars. Now, it would beg the question next as to what people are willing to do to stop the things that are happening and are going to happen. It saddens me to think that our police departments who know this stuff, because, you know, the policemen in all these towns in America are citizens like you guys are, and many of them have woken up to the fact that Al-Qaeda is a lie and that 9/11 was done by our own government and Israel and Jewish elements within the ADL and others, and the Abe Foxmans of the world and the Southern Poverty Law people and the rest. They know it. But yet they still do nothing about it. They don't go and arrest anybody, and I just wonder what it's going to take for them to do their job. I mean, these people make $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 a year salaries. What are they getting paid to do? Give you speeding tickets? Is that their job? No. Their job is to find criminals, and the criminals are sitting there unmolested. What the hell is that about? When are people in states like sheriff's departments going to get FBI agents who come into their area and put them in shackles and arrest them and say the FBI has been proven to be a terrorist organization and put the FBI in jail? And if the guy says, well, I didn't do anything, it wasn't me who did it, well, that remains to be proven, because we can prove that the FBI was involved in the Oklahoma City bombing cover-up. And we know they were involved in the Waco murders, and we know they were involved in Ruby Ridge, and we know they were there on that day in New York, and we know they've intimidated and arrested people. We know they've helped fabricate the Al-Qaeda lie. We know all about that stuff. So so people, you know, yes, if you're an FBI agent, you should be a suspect. And if you don't want to be suspected and ultimately charged with crime, maybe you need to stand up and start arresting the criminals that are doing this stuff yourself. If I were working for an organization like that and I knew they were doing that, I'd quit. And then I'd speak out. Get some guts. Well, you know, you went in there, you're supposed to be fighting for right and justice. Instead, you're over there fighting for crooks and liars. If you're a real honest-to-goodness patriot and American citizen and you're in the FBI and you know that your fellow FBI agents are lying and they're doing crooked things, then you're part of the crime wave, not part of the solution. So you either have to quit or get charged with these crimes later on, because we will have a long memory. We will not forget what side you ended up falling on and who you supported. And then the idea of these new private armies going on across America. I urge everybody in America to find out where they're setting up camp. Find out where the people who work on these bases live. Drive by and find out what they do around their home, what they've got going on there, who they live with. and get ready to take action against the Blackwater group. Get ready to take action against this Dynacorp group, because they are on the other side getting ready to take action against you. This I promise you. The kind of action you need to take is citizens' arrests. You need to get your county sheriffs involved. You need to get local police departments involved. And you need to shut these people down hard, because they are going to be the gun confiscators, as they were in New Orleans. That's right. They had these private mercenaries in New Orleans confiscating and shooting people and the whole bit, roughing up old grannies, telling them, give up your gun, leave your house, la, la, la. And they weren't even police. They were private militia, private mercenaries. Many of them were Israeli down there. Yeah. So the hotting up of this fight is going to require you to start making a stand. You know, it's easy to say, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating, or the fact is, it is in the doing that you are going to get your greatest reward. You can't get any reward from words, ladies and gentlemen. Words don't reward. Actions do. And it is the coming together of the people out there. See, they don't have the forces to stop all the American people. They just don't have the numbers. So what they can try to do is have events that frighten you into not taking action. And if you work hard at finding out who in your area you can trust and you can work with and you can discuss this with, and maybe a bunch of you, 20, 30 of you, can go with hat in hand, unarmed, down to your local police department with evidence and say, we want to talk to the chief. We want to talk to the sheriff and say, let's go to your conference room and sit down and show him this stuff and say, we're from this community, 15 of us, 20 of us, and we want you to take a look at this information because we know that this is what's happened to our country and this is what's happening. And you have, Mr. Sheriff or Mr. Chief of the department, responsibility to the public. And we're calling you out on that responsibility right now. And there are more of us behind this. If there's 15 here, there's 150 others waiting and more coming. And it'll only get bigger. And if you fall, Mr. Chief of Police, on the wrong side of this, it's going to be your behind that gets in a sling. Because, you know, these people know what side of the bread their bread is buttered on, ladies and gentlemen. If it's a small town police department, it's the town itself that pays their wages, not the federal government. Even though it's the federal government and the ADL propagandizing them, it's the town itself that pays for them. So remind them who pays their paychecks. Go to your town or city mayors or commissioners and tell them what's going on in your community and in the larger United States and in the world, and say, these are the facts on the ground. This is what we've got, and you need to take a look at it. And I'm going to tell you, even at their level, they're aware of this now. Everybody's aware of it. I've sat on this phone and called up police departments around where I used to live and spoke to the chiefs and told them the truth. And I had three out of four of them chuckle at me like I was a kook. Called one of them back about a week ago. This was after about a three-month wait. He didn't laugh the second call I made. He wasn't laughing at all. In fact, it sounded like he had been pushed into looking into some of this stuff and was far less resistant to the things I told him. You see, some people just need a little prompting, a little motivation here to take action. You know, the biggest fear these criminals have is that this thing will spin, the deception will just melt down on them, and they'll be standing there with the evidence at their feet and them with egg on their face saying, uh-oh, smoking gun in front of me, they're going to catch me now. I didn't get out of the country in time. Yeah. And jail is what's on the menu for these people, and hopefully worse. We have to wonder here, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have the wherewithal to stop these people in time. You know, when you take a look at what Morgan Stanley's saying, and you know what Mohammed Rafik and I have talked about on this program, we know it's late time here, late hour. We are going to do another file, and the next file on finances is going to get decidedly more technical. We believe that you have probably a strong layman's grasp on the facts about the derivative bubble, and we're going to actually turn up the level to actually probably a master's level in university at a good school, that if they were actually talking about these facts, because most of them don't. You're going to actually be getting information on a very high level. Now you understand what swaps are. You understand what derivatives are and how they're used. You understand what the money system has been built on, and these new capital accords and all of these different subjects. Because if you've listened to the six files we've done recently, all of that stuff has been made somewhat clearer for you. Now we're going to talk about the ramifications of it in an international sense, and the importance of the dollar in the world's economy, and how without it, events are going to start really seriously falling out of place. You know, there was a statistic that really shocked me, that 8 out of 10 of these derivative contracts, which is, like I said, $670 trillion worth, 8 out of 10 of certain class of these were in dollar-denominated, or portion of them were dollar-denominated. In other words, if the dollar goes belly up in earnest, that derivatives bubble is going to explode instantly. Now, what you're going to see here in this next Fed move of 50 basis points, which is what's going to come, because what they're going to try to do is inflate their way out of this mess, you're going to see the amount of activity in this derivatives market even hot up more, and we will be getting up to a quadrillion before long. Now, most of your calculators that you buy at the store can't even put that number in it. It becomes an exponent. Yeah, it's baffling. Yeah, the amount of zeros and the amount of money and how much that really is. I mean, if you were driving over the George Washington Bridge over the Hudson River and looked down, that would be a whole river full of, up from bottom to top with dollar bills, as far out as you could see. I mean, a quadrillion. It's unimaginable. It could go to the moon and back a dozen times easy. Dollar bills end to end. Easily. So I wish somebody would actually do measure a dollar bill and then do the math on that, find out how far it would actually go. Quadrillion worth. It's unbelievable. Anyway, these kind of things need to be explained, because again, if we are to be believed, and actually most of the things that we've been talking about are actually coming out sometime later after we discuss them. You're reading in other articles the things that we have talked about weeks, even months ago. So you're getting verification of our analysis of this stuff, and in many cases, though, you're only getting the surface story. But you can see that we were right on the target with this stuff. It is going to be precipitated by money, all of this mess. So keep a close eye on it, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in January and February you're going to see serious problems. That means that, you know, it's time to hunker down with your family, find out what your solutions are going to be, make some strong decisions with them so that you are aware of what your plan A and B and C is in the event of this, that, and the other thing. How are you going to protect yourself in these events as far as having food, clothing, shelter, and heat? Of course, it's wintertime. And you know, if any of this stuff doesn't happen immediately, like January or February, which I don't see how it can't help but happen, but if it doesn't, it's an insurance policy, ladies and gentlemen. You buy it for your car, you buy it for your house, you buy it for all kinds of stuff. If you've got a month or 2 months worth of food in your basement, that's not going to go bad on you. It's insurance. It'll be there for you. You know, if you've got an extra tank or a barrel of heating oil extra that you bought to keep yourself warm, if you've got a couple of extra new weapons in your arsenal, or some candles and lights and things, and just, you know, make sure you have the things that you need as a family to be safe. It's just prudent and good thinking. You know, and I'm not trying to fearmonger here. This is a rational decision making for people who are going to be facing some of these same questions very soon, I believe. Now, you know, the hardest thing to do in this fight is to gauge the implosion or the cascading or the problems. But the financial side of it, looking at it from where I sit, is getting easier to read. It's not looking good. It's looking worse as you do look at it. That's why I'm saying these things, because I always told you, if you listen, been listening to me for years, I always said over and over and over again, it would be precipitated by financial events, and we're seeing those right now. So that's important. Price of gold on a big mount up. So, you know, if you have a little extra cash, put that into silver or gold, at least some of it, and send us five. If you have $5 in American money today, can buy you 2 cups of coffee. Astonishing, that. But PayPal will accept it. Send $5. It'll get to us, and we can get the bandwidth. We've got a little bit of money up now from recent donations. I want to thank everybody for doing that. A couple of them just came in. A couple of $50 ones, which is wonderful, and we're very grateful for that. We're going to actually add more bandwidth. But in the meantime, we need you guys to actually advertise the information we're putting out there. This is imperative. If we get this stuff going, it's kind of your responsibility, if you would, for us to start talking it up, that we've got this information. The stream is starting to come out better. We're putting on some of our old programs. We had Kay Griggs on recently. We've had some of the talks we've had with Muhammad on, Andrew Hitchcock on, and others. So important stuff we're putting on the loop, and we're going to be doing more research. We just did that one with Evan Long on Columbine, and that's germane to what's happening today with these other shootings. Listen to that file again, ladies and gentlemen. We've got that on the loop as well. Listen to the facts around that when you're thinking about these new shootings, and share that with people in your family and say, this is a fraud. Take a listen to what they did at Columbine, and you'll know it's a fraud. And isn't it interesting, much of this comes out of Colorado? Yeah. That's where that nut job Dr. Deagle was. He was out there peppering people with drugs and stuff after Columbine. Who the heck knows what he's all about? Not very clear story there, guys. Anyway, so yeah, we need to get a grip on all of these facts, but we also need your help to get the information out to others. Tell people that we're the best game in town. We're fighting like crazy. We're putting out factual information. We're giving you the heads up on the financial side of it, which is really going to be the story here. And we're going to bring on some people about how to prepare for a disaster. I'm looking for somebody to do that with. I've also got somebody, hopefully a doctor, to talk about this AIDS vaccine that was being given out in Africa that was actually giving people these vaccines that were giving people AIDS in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. You know, it was like this recent thing in Libya where these nurses from Bulgaria were actually injecting people with a smallpox vaccine, and it was laced with AIDS virus. And the Libyans tested the vaccine and found out it had HIV antibodies in it. In other words, they were poisoning the population of Libya. So they arrested them. And that's just another big story. If you listen to yesterday's file, you get a little bit of breakdown on that information. But so much still to tell. We know who did this, so you need to get out there and tell people that. And know that the website we've got has hours, days worth, weeks worth of downloads, files, video connections, information from Commander Innes we're going to put up again on the USS Liberty. We've had great discussions with the commander on many things, and he's been not feeling well lately. Hopefully he's better and still pushing along with the story he's been telling. But the fact is we sussed out that story 8-10 months ago, but it's still important to be told now. We need your help. We need to push it. Thank you for posting some of these things on Wake Up From Your Slumber, but there's another 50 places to put this. How about Con Central over there? Put something up with them. Put something up on all of the sites, because this information needs to go far and wide, and we need your help to do it. So that's my rant for today. It's about a 30-minute rant, and I know it should go on longer, but that's, you know, I don't want to repeat myself ad nauseum here, and I want to let you know that we're going to do, again, that file and bring you up to a higher level on finances. You will understand by the end of the complete series that Muhammad and myself finish here on the French Connection, you will have a knowledge of this financial calamity like nobody else. And as it unfolds, you will know what is going on and why, and what to expect. And we can't give you a better gift than that at Christmas time, knowing the truth. Because the truth is a gift, is the most precious of all gifts to have. And that's what we do here. So, till the next time, ladies and gentlemen, listen to these files, spread them around, take care of your families, and be well. Bye-bye now.
You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want you to do. Don't you notice how hopelessly I've lost? That's why I'm following you. Would I wander through this wonderland alone, never knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove? I'm too misty and too much in love.